When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on this morning with Ed Curry, who is our thought leader for this morning. Ed from Associated Bank, tell us what you do there.
Good morning, Steve. I am a residential loan officer, so I work with clients handling financing homes, whether it be, you know, 1 to 4 unit primary or investment properties.
Talk to us about how business has been going lately.
You know, it's been strong. It's pleasantly surprised on how strong that the market has held up throughout the last 3 months. During the initial shutdown period, certainly rates had fallen, so as expected, refinance activity picked up. But purchase activity and construction activity has continued to hold its own during that time.
Why do you think that is?
One of the reasons perhaps could be that, unfortunately, I think a lot of the people that have been mostly impacted with job loss may have been inordinately renters and not in the market to purchase or sell. So I think you may have a situation where the people who are in a position to buy or sell, you know, things were somewhat put on hold there for a good 30 to 60 day period. But I think they start to realize that, you know, they need to move on. And perhaps also the changing thought of people having to go to the office may be creating some migration as well. People thinking that they don't need to live close to their office any longer because they don't need to go into the office. So they've had their eye on maybe a certain location, maybe within the close proximity to where they live now, or maybe even out of state. So there could be all those things at play.
Yeah, and I'd heard that too. Some people who live in the city may be rethinking moving to the suburbs because if they're going to be locked up at home, they want some more space, perhaps in a bigger area.
Absolutely. If you can't walk along the lake shore, why live near the lake shore?
How much, Ed, does the interest rate situation have to do with this right now? I know the number and the mortgage rates fell below 3% there for a while. It's, I think, back above that now. But what impact is that having?
Yeah, it's always a positive impact. I mean, that's great headlines. You know, I would always caution people when they see some of those headlines to kind of make sure you dig into it. You know, the article that you're referencing from Diane Olick, I mean, the headline was really somewhat misleading. Anytime you see any sort of headline about mortgage rates are X or certain threshold, they're generally looking at a certain interest rate survey that they're pulling from. And the one that Diane had pulled from was somewhat obscure interest rate survey with very little transparency on costs. The key thing to understand on mortgage rates is with every rate comes a fee. So if the current 0 point rate is 3.25%, for example, you can get a 3%, 2.75% interest rate. It's just going to cost you a lot more than a 3.25% interest rate is. So you always need to kind of look at the numbers within those numbers. And I always like the Freddie Mac website, and I point clients to that. You can go on FreddieMac.com. They do a weekly survey. It comes out every Thursday, and they have full transparency of the average rates as well as the average fee. And you're typically going to see with them, on average, people are paying almost a full point to get the interest rate in their average. So that's a nice gauge to understand what sort of rate is actually out there. And geographically as well, different parts of the country, paying points is more common than others. In the Chicago market, for example, it's most common for people to pay 0 points for their mortgages, in many cases, a slightly higher rates and do no cost, especially for refinances. So understanding the full picture, rates and fee is important to understand those interest rates. And the Freddie Mac survey does a great job in doing that.
Well, we had you on this morning. I wanted to talk to you about what the process is like for people who may be getting into the refinance arena or maybe even getting a mortgage for a new home. How does the process differ from, let's say, pre-pandemic?
You know, it's really been a couple different areas that have been impacted, not only the product availability, but also the process itself. The product availability, right when the shutdown occurred, a lot of lenders really became very defensive. You know, they thought back to 2008 with housing values falling, unemployment, job loss. So they really moved into defensive mode in two areas, pulling some of the quote-unquote higher-risk type of products, and those would be things like jumbo loans and construction loans, and then also home equity lines of credit, second mortgages. Some lenders, especially the larger ones, simply stopped temporarily doing home equity lines of credit. Some lenders just pulled back. Maybe they were doing 90% on their lines of credit. Maybe they pulled back to 80%. So for the people who are looking for lines of credit, there's still plenty out there. You just need to do a little more work in terms of finding ones that fit your needs. And for the jumbo and construction loans, most of the lenders that were impacted on that really were the lenders who sell these loans off to others, the broker type of mortgage lenders that rely on lenders to purchase the loans from them. So a lot of lenders that fed into the brokers had pulled those products from them. So this is a great time to be at a place like Associated that we're a direct lender. We have been unaffected by COVID. We've had very little change to our programs at all. Plenty of jumbo loan availability, plenty of construction loan availability. So you may need to do, clients may do a little more homework in finding who would be a good fit because the broker banker may not have the product for them, but a direct lender will.
You know, the process sometimes takes a couple of weeks to maybe a month or more. Do the requirements change during that period? And I'm thinking specifically of checking your references, checking your job status because of that being in flux for a lot of people. Are there going to be multiple checks about whether you're still employed before you get approved for a loan?
Yeah, it's a great question. Those were the items that were mostly impacted. You know, the two things right away were what's the client's borrower's job status, and then also are the asset statements that they're providing actually current? You may recall early on there was a precipitous drop in equity prices, so clients may have had some bank statements that had a pretty nice number for January and February, but at the end of March, not so good. So a couple, both the assets and the job areas are two things that have changed. I'm curious to see, as we've normalized in the stock market and equity prices, if that documentation will come back. But previously, you know, bank statements were generally good for about 120 days. You know, right now, for the most part, if they're older than 60 days, lenders or underwriters are going to ask for updated statements. So you may need to provide additional bank statements before you close. And then job status. There's been more frequent checks on that, aside from, you know, you can't just show pay stubs, current pay stubs that you have a job. Lenders, for the most part, are checking, sometimes even up to the day of closing, verifying that the client is still employed with their employer to make sure that the income that they've qualified that client on to pay back that loan is still valid.
Ed, a number of people who have mortgages currently have sought out forbearance to whether they've lost a job or whether their income has been reduced because of the pandemic recession. Talk to us a little bit about that. Is there any data yet on how many people have done that, and what are the pros and cons of it?
There is, and it seems to have peaked. The last week, maybe 2 weeks, we've started to see that come down. I think the latest number, I saw about 33% of people that have mortgages have been paying for their mortgage while in forbearance. I think the number has peaked out around 8% of all borrowers put their loan in forbearance. I think 4.7 million was the number, and that has started to come down. A lot of people took the forbearance just as a precaution. Yeah, there was so much uncertainty early on whether they would lose their job or whether they would not be able to make their mortgage payment. And as I mentioned, some people took the forbearance, but have still been making their mortgage payment, actually one out of every three in forbearance. So we're starting to see that come down, and this has been a great coordinated move amongst all lenders to provide clients this option. And I say that because if you look at some of the delinquency rates of homeowners that are 30, 60, 90 days behind on their mortgage, you know, that has really stayed level. And so I think it's provided a great backdrop hopefully, you know, we're seeing this recovery take hold, and as people come out of forbearance, people will get back on track to being able to make their mortgage payments on time.
And forbearance may not always be the right choice, right? I mean, some people who are eligible for forbearance might also still be able to refinance.
That's correct. And in many cases, if you're in forbearance, you're not able to refinance. So clients are in a position where they need to decide, do I want to be in forbearance or do I want to refinance? So we've seen a number of clients who initially, just because it was an option and as a precaution, go into forbearance, decide that they're better off refinancing. So they may need to be current, pay current to their mortgage, and make sure that that's, you know, fully paid up before they move forward to refinance.
A lot of folks who were planning to buy or sell this year, or maybe even refinance, have been perhaps making sure their credit is clean and their credit score is at a good level. How has the pandemic affected people's credit scores?
I have not seen, anecdotally, any sort of significant drop at all. Of course, it's very helpful that as you're in forbearance, no negative information is reported to the credit bureaus to impact credit scores. It does note on a credit report that the loan is in forbearance, but as the credit score models take that into account, it doesn't negatively impact it. So fortunately, I haven't seen that. In some cases, clients who perhaps have had a furloughed in their job, or in some cases, self-employed borrowers who've had to shut their business down, we've seen some credit card racked up a little bit, credit card balances racked up. And as you move higher and higher on the balance relative to the limit, the so-called utilization rate, that does put a downward pressure on those credit scores. So that's probably the most impactful part of credit scores that I've seen during this pandemic.
Some good information. Always a good talk with you, Ed. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Feel free to send me an email, ed.curry@associatedbank.com. That's ed.curry@associatedbank.com.
All right, thanks. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.